All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going way back to 1905.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, we're diving into this really fascinating case, Pardee v. Camden Lumber Company. It's a West Virginia Supreme Court case, and it's not just some, you know, dusty old legal history. This thing had a big impact, like a ripple effect on how courts think about protecting property, especially when you're talking about natural resources like, well, think forests.
Yeah, like those old growth forests you can't just poof replace. I mean, what happens when there's a fight over who owns a piece of land and someone starts chopping down all the valuable timber? That's what this case is all about.
Right. So, like, is just getting paid for the wood later enough to make things right? Or is there something more at play here? And that's what makes Pardee so interesting. It kind of says, hold on, money isn't always the answer. It recognizes that some things, like a whole forest, have this like unique value you can't put a price tag on.
Exactly. And that's where the idea of an injunction comes in strong. It's like the court stepping in and saying, whoa, stop the presses before things get, well, irreparable.
Love that. Stop the presses.
Okay.
So we're going deep on this, unpacking the whole dispute, the logic the court used, and why, even after all these years, this case still matters, especially when we're talking about property rights and how we view those precious natural resources.
So picture this. We've got Barton Pardee and a few others. They decided to sue the Camden Lumber Company.
Big lumber company, right?
Yeah. And the reason, they wanted to stop them from logging, like full-on timber harvesting on land where the ownership, well, wasn't exactly clear. Like a big question mark hanging over it.
Oh, so classic property dispute. Who owns what? Right.
Exactly. And at first, Pardee and his crew, they won. The court actually slapped an injunction on Camden Lumber, meaning all logging had to stop, like a big pause button.
Okay, so injunction placed, logging halted. Sounds like a clear win for Pardee.
Not so fast. You see, here's the twist. The case itself hadn't reached a final judgment, like who the rightful owner of the land actually was. But in the meantime, a jury had given their verdict on a, let's say, related matter, and they sided with, guess who?
Camden Lumber, I'm guessing.
Bingo. So based on this jury verdict, the trial court went and dissolved the injunction. They were like, well, the jury seems to be leaning towards Camden, so logging can resume while we figure out the finer points of ownership.
Oh, so they basically hit play on a logging again.
Yep. And that, my friend, is exactly what Pardee appealed. Now, he wasn't directly challenging the jury's initial verdict about ownership at this point. His main goal was to get that injunction back in place, like stop the logging right now and keep it stopped until we have a crystal clear decision on who actually owns this land.
So it was less about who ultimately wins the land and more about no more logging until we know for sure.
Precisely. His argument was that if Camden kept logging in the meantime, it would cause damage you couldn't just undo later, regardless of who ended up owning the land. Like some things, once they're gone, they're gone.
Makes sense. So this brings us to like the heart of the legal issue that the West Virginia Supreme Court had to wrestle with.
Right.
If someone wants a court order, that injunction, to stop the timber cutting, do they need to prove that the logging company, in this case Camden, is broke? Like they can't afford to pay for the damages.
Yeah, that's the insolvency thing, like proving they wouldn't be able to pay up later.
Right. Or, like Pardee was arguing, do they just have to show that the loss of the trees is something that, like, money can't truly fix?
That's the key question, isn't it? And you have to remember, back then, getting an injunction, especially against a big company, was a tough cookie. Courts wanted proof, either that the other party was insolvent, couldn't pay, or that the damage was so unique, so special, that money was just a band-aid on a, well, a much bigger wound.
So it was a high bar to clear.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. Pardee was a game changer. The court basically said, nope, you don't always need to prove insolvency, especially when we're talking about real property. And timber? Oh, yeah, that definitely falls under real property.
So Pardee kind of flips the script on that old way of thinking. Big shift.
Huge shift. The court basically lays down this new principle. Injunctions are totally on the table to prevent irreversible damage to real estate. And timber, being part of that land, gets that protection. And the kicker. You don't have to prove the logging company is going to go bankrupt. It's about the nature of the harm itself.
Interesting. So why did the court feel so strongly about timber? It's just wood. I mean, I get it. Trees are important. But
it's more than just wood. Justice Poffenbarger, the guy who wrote the majority opinion, he makes this super compelling argument about timber deserving special legal protection. He basically says that timber isn't just some commodity, some separate product you harvest. It's an integral part of the land itself, like it's woven into the fabric of the property.
Okay, so it's not just about the trees themselves. It's about the whole ecosystem, the land itself.
Exactly. And he uses this really vivid language to drive the point home. He writes, and I'm quoting here, "Timber has no legal equivalent in nature or value. A land stripped of timber isn't the same as land with it."
Powerful, right? He's saying that once you cut down those trees, the whole character of the land changes. And money. Money can't bring back a mature forest.
Yeah, like you can't just go plant a new tree and say, problem solved. It takes decades, centuries even, for a forest to reach that level of maturity.
Right, and that's another point the court hammered on. Every piece of land is unique. You can't just go buy an identical plot somewhere else.
Mm.
So even if you got paid for the timber they cut down,
mm-hmm.
you can't replicate that exact piece of land. With its specific trees and everything, it's a singular loss.
Irreplaceable. So this idea of uniqueness, of the land and the timber being this inseparable whole, that's what led the court to basically say, you know what? We were wrong before. They actually overturned their own previous decisions on this whole insolvency requirement for injunctions. Pretty bold move, huh? Oh, it was a big deal. They admitted that the old rule was fundamentally flawed, because what it did essentially was give a free pass to companies with deep pockets. Like, go ahead, cut down all the trees, you can just pay for it later. But the landowners were left with money, sure, but their land was forever changed.
Doesn't seem very fair.
Not at all. And there's another interesting point here. Justice Brannon, he agreed with the overall decision, but he added his own two cents. He said, and I'm quoting again, "A wrong decision should be overturned if it causes more harm than reversal."
Makes sense.
So his point was, sticking with the old wrong rule would just perpetuate this injustice, especially as timber was becoming more and more valuable and the environmental impact of deforestation was becoming more apparent.
So after Pardee, what are courts looking at when they decide whether or not to grant an injunction in these timber cases? Like, what are the factors they're weighing?
Good question. They didn't exactly give us a checklist, but there are definitely some key considerations that come out of Pardee. First off, can money really truly make up for the loss of the timber? Given how the court talks about its unique nature, being part of the land, the answer is probably no, especially for mature forests.
Yeah, like money can't buy back time, can't buy back that lost ecosystem.
Exactly. And then there's the permanence of it. Once the trees are down, that's it. You can't just glue them back together. So that irreversible damage really pushes towards using an injunction to prevent it in the first place.
So prevention over a Band-Aid solution.
Right. And then remember, the court was very clear. Timber is an integral part of the real estate itself, not just some separate thing. That strengthens the argument that destroying it is a direct attack on the landowner's property rights.
It's like damaging the land itself.
Exactly. And then you've got the economic value of the timber, how scarce it is. That comes into play, too. Like Justice Brannon said, timber was getting more and more valuable, which made the old rule even worse. The more valuable the trees, the less adequate just paying for them becomes.
So it's not just about the environment, but also about economic fairness.
Absolutely. And lastly, there's the potential for ongoing damage. While everyone's arguing about who owns the land, the logging could just continue, making the harm worse and worse. Huh. An injunction puts a stop to that while the legal process plays out.
So it's like a timeout, right? Everyone okay. Chill out while we figure this out.
Perfect analogy. It's like, imagine someone breaks into your house and starts slashing up a priceless painting. You wouldn't just accept a check for its estimated value later, would you?
No way. That painting is irreplaceable.
Exactly. Same thing with a mature forest. Money can't bring it back.
So, big picture. What did Pardee v. Camden Lumber really do? It seems like a pivotal case, not just for West Virginia, but maybe beyond.
Oh, it was massive. It brought West Virginia in line with a lot of other states in terms of putting more emphasis on protecting property rights and, you know, conserving those natural resources, the forest. Courts now had more leeway to use injunctions in timber disputes, recognizing that money just wasn't always enough.
So it's not just about trees. It feels like Pardee is saying something bigger, like some losses, especially when it comes to the environment, just can't be fixed with a check.
You're hitting the nail on the head. Pardee was about timber, but the principle, that idea that money isn't enough for truly irreplaceable losses, well, that could apply to other things too. Think water rights, endangered species habitats, even historical landmarks. It sets a precedent for arguing that some things have a value beyond their market price.
Okay, so to sum up our deep dive into Pardee v. Camden Lumber, the big takeaway is this. When real property, especially something like timber, is in danger of being irreparably harmed, the law says, let's prevent that harm. It says that some things have a value that goes way beyond dollars and cents.
Absolutely. Pardee was a turning point. It moved the legal thinking away from just looking at the economic side of things and recognized that some things are just irreplaceable. It's about stopping the harm before it happens, not just paying for it afterwards.
And that leaves you with something to ponder, this idea that some things are just too valuable to be replaced. How does that apply to other disputes? Think about fights over clean water, protecting ecosystems, preserving our history. What does irreparable harm really mean in a world that's constantly changing? How do we balance the need for progress with protecting things that we can't get back once they're gone? It's a lot to think about, but that's what makes law so fascinating, right?
Today.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
You bet. It was a good one.